You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we are here in the depths of the Boston Garden after a 126-94 thrashing of the Charlotte Hornets, which was a close game for 2.5 quarters, and then the Celtics unleashed holy hell on the Hornets and ran away with this thing. 126-94 again, the final. Jaylen Brown, 24 points off the bench. Nice job from him. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined to my left by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam.
We also know him as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam. See, this was funny because there's a bunch of Celtics people walking by as I was making the jam noises, and it was embarrassing, but I had to power through.
Look, you got to stick to the bit. And this bit is going, man.
Commitment to the bit is what we do.
This game was over quickly. Everything was fast about this game. Let's see. Charlotte shot 7 free throws in this game. The Celtics actually managed to shoot 16, which all came late. There was a stretch there where I think 2 free throws were shot in the game through like
the first half, I think.
Yeah. That was nuts.
It finished in 2 hours, under 2 hours, which is not normal for an NBA game.
Unreal. It's normally 2.5 hours. To shave a half hour off of that, that alone is going to have people say, what if we eliminated free throws from
Hear that,
basketball?
James Harden? Hear that?
Can you imagine? He would just be neutralized. Like, he would lead the charge.
He would still be pretty good, but...
No, he'd be terrible. No,
but what actually happened in
kidding.
That 2 hours?
What
Terry Rozier started, and it was, again, quite good, because Jay King doubted him. I think the thing I was most impressed with Terry tonight was his playmaking, his assists. He had 10 assists tonight, and the Celtics had 2 really good offensive quarters, the third quarter and the first quarter. I think he had 5 assists in both. He was just making the right decisions tonight. The Celtics did a good job in transition. I thought he did a really good job in transition, but then... just out of the pick and roll, he had an alley-oop to Horford, kind of scrambling play. He had that really nice alley-oop to Jason Tatum. I just thought he was making kind of the smart decision all night, and he was rewarding his teammates, and that's how he ends up with 10 assists.
In the third quarter, where the Celtics outscored Charlotte 35-16, again, 6 minutes to go, that was a 6-point game. And the Celtics won, I think it was a 20-3 run to close the quarter. In that third quarter, Terry Rozier was great. 10 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals in that, just 1 turnover, and he shot 3 of 5, 2 of 3 from 3. I mean, that was just a beautiful quarter from Terry Rozier. And the defense, and like you said, getting out in transition, feeding guys, that was – it's funny, and maybe this – work this way because Charlotte's not that great, but I mean, still, he has to come out here and do it. The starter versus bench Terry, it's just stark. And I guess that boosts his free agency a little bit by saying,
if he starts,
if you want a guy who can start, like he powered through, and I've said this before on the podcast, his agent says, hey, look, you want him to be your starting point guard? Here he is. Starter Terry is great. And, you know, maybe it didn't work out. Wasn't quite fitting with him on the bench, but he never said anything. So Terry Rozier, very good tonight. A lot of guys were very good tonight.
I mean, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Whereas I didn't know if it was like Terry Rozier just being great or the fact that the Celtics were great tonight. And just so much cutting to the hoop, so much passing. I had 34 assists. They had 2 12 assist quarters, the first and third quarter, both had 12 assists. They were really just moving the ball well, and the Hornets had zero rim protection whatsoever. The Celtics could pretty much get to the rim with ease the entire night. They played Bismack Biyombo for 13 minutes, but then they basically went small the entire rest of the way with a bunch of Marvin Williams at the five, some Willie Hernan Gomez at the five, but really the Celtics just passing the ball and cutting. It was real simple old school basketball, folks, and it worked to the tune of 125 points.
Yeah. If you're Bismack Biyombo and you're not in there and you're not going to block shots, then you just there's just no effectiveness. He's no other at that point, just pull him. He's your only real big that has any chance of blocking shots. If he's not going to be out there blocking shots and affecting the defense, then you might as well go small and say, all right, Marvin, go out there and try to hit some threes, which he did. He didn't score a ton. There were some stretches where he would help the Hornets get close.
He had a solid stretch in the second quarter, like bringing it back. They went on an 11-0 run. I think he made two threes in that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was part of this. The Hornets... I was prepared to write in my recap that this was just always destined to be a 7-point game. Like, it just stayed as a 7-point game for most, even after the first quarter where the Celtics put up 35 points, Charlotte still scored 28, and they outscored the Celtics 31-28 in the second quarter. They were, anytime the Celtics threatened to make a run and they push it up to like 8 or 9 or 11, Charlotte would answer. It was Kemba Walker. It was Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at one point.
He scored multiple baskets in a row from the outside.
Nick
shots.
Batum. Yeah.
It was wild.
He hit shots. That's insane. Nick Batum would hit a couple of shots. Marvin Williams, like we said. Guys just kind of stepped up and were making timely shots. So halfway through that third quarter, I thought, oh, well, here we go. But the Celtics continued to play defense. I think the big key was 6 Charlotte turnovers in the third quarter, 10 Celtics points. I mean, that's really where they started to push that lead out. Once they got that lead to 15, there was just
it was done at
left.
The end of the third quarter. It just really felt like Kemba Walker, he was 3 of 8 in that quarter, but he was just seemed pretty tired. And once he was off the court, I don't know who else on the Hornets bench is capable of scoring. They really just, I mean, Malik Monk, I guess, finished with a decent game, but just like once it was out of Kemba's hands, there's just no one else on this team really scares you. No. I mean, Nick Batum was not great. He had a number of turnovers there in that third quarter, but it's pretty much like they withstood the one run. They extended it to 15. Then the fourth quarter was just, to use a Brad Stevens term, it was a joke.
Borrego said before the game that they need to win those bench minutes to have a chance. And that's where they really did lose the game here, because when you got to the Celtics bench, Jaylen Brown obviously led the team in scoring, 24 points. Gordon Hayward chipped in 12. Everyone else kind of had something. Everybody scored. In fact, there's a weird quirk here where everybody that played in this game scored, which I don't know how often that happens.
And they played, both teams fully emptied their bench.
Yeah. So it's kind of wild.
Even Joe Chile got 2 buckets. You know what? I'm just seeing the name Joe Chile right now. It says he plays 7 minutes and 45 seconds. Who is Joe Chile?
I have no idea.
He got 2 points.
I think he's probably a two-way player.
He took 3 shots.
Yeah. He took 3 shots in the portion of the blowout where I'm no longer paying attention and I'm just trying to write a lead to my recap so I can get it out at the buzzer.
Shouts to Joe Chile. He did more than I did. We haven't talked about Jaylen Brown as much, but I thought Jaylen Brown was probably one of the best players in this game. 24 points, 10 rebounds. Brad mentioned in his post-game press conference just getting some easy baskets from offensive rebounds. He had 2 tip-ins that were, I think, in the second quarter, kind of kept them close. He scored 10 points in the second quarter where the Celtics were kind of struggling. They only had 4 assists then. And Jaylen Brown, I just thought by hustling, getting to the hoop, he also had a very cool dunk, which
he should be
in the dunk contest. Like, when he actually goes up for it, he can really sky.
I felt like he was getting up even a little bit higher
today. Think about
it.
He's like really embraces the professor theme. He maybe goes in with a sweater or a sweater vest, glasses.
Maybe he jumps over like a whiteboard.
You fools. Yeah. There's potential there. I think Jaylen Brown needs to be in the dunk contest. Maybe it's a little late. Most people who are in the dunk contest have been like practicing dunks for a while now. That's how it works.
Maybe he has been practicing dunks.
I feel like he's too busy like learning Arabic and playing the piano. Or if he jumped over piano and then like played the piano.
Oh.
There's so many props that he could use.
Absolutely.
He's a professor. But he was good tonight. He knocked it.
He was very good tonight. I think that the real where you really knew Jaylen Brown was having a night. There was the botched alley-oop to Marcus Morris that he was just kind of there and he put back. And then there was a fast break where Marcus Smart got the ball and tried to do this fancy kind of...
It was a terrible attempt.
That was a terrible... And I think he was kind of put in a bad spot. Like, he was running straight down the middle at full speed, and he kind of jumped. He had no clue what to do with it. And then Jaylen Brown was there to just kind of clean that up. It still says he only had one offensive rebound. I guess that botched alley-oop might not count as an offensive rebound. But when those two things happen and he was in the right place in the right time there, you know that that's kind of like the ball is finding the right energy, and he was just kind of and that's where that term comes from. Like, when you hustle and put yourself in a position, the ball will find that energy. When something goes wrong, he's in a position to kind of clean that up. So a nice night for him. 10 of 18. He shot 2 of 8 from 3. I'm surprised. I thought he shot better than that from 3. But, again, an awesome night for him. A nice night for Jason Tatum, who did most of his damage, I felt like, early in the game.
11 points in the first quarter. Was 5 of 6. I think a couple outside shots, but he knocked down his threes, but he was also part of the just everyone running to the rim, getting layups.
He had a couple of nice dribble moves getting to the rim.
But he had the big dunk before. It's just everyone kind of lived in the paint tonight. The Celtics scored 64 points in the paint, which feels like...
That is an insane number.
We don't normally track that after every game, but that just feels like an insanely high number for the Celtics.
That's like almost half their points came in the paint. That is wild.
Especially for a team that we talk about that doesn't get, like, we talk, they just live for three-pointers, and they've been often criticized for settling for mid-range shots. That many points in the paint, and it really felt that way the entire night. It was just cutting layups, and easy dunks. There was a stretch there in the third quarter when they were really piling on, where it was just like they ran the dunks play, and it worked 3 times in a row.
Yeah. Well, you got them running good offense, first of all. You've got them scoring 22 points off of 12 turnovers. And when you're scoring points off turnovers, those tend to come in the paint because you're getting layups. And then they had, 12 offensive rebounds. So you get a bunch of putbacks there that kind of pump up that total. So, yeah, I guess it makes sense when you look at it that the Celtics were kind of living in the paint. But, again, very aggressive attacking Boston Celtics tonight. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we haven't talked about Gordon Hayward yet. We haven't talked about Brad Stevens dunking on me in the postgame, continuing my stretch of being just dunked on by Celtics. And we'll get to tweets and junk drawer later on. So stick around here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Gordon Hayward had 12 points, but he was a plus 31 on the night. Celtics' best plus minus. He also had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a nice dunk cutting down the lane. Continuing the theme, Sam, of cutting, getting the ball. Now, I thought that dunk kind of was a sign of something. That all of Gordon Hayward's dunks this season, and there haven't been many, have come in transition, except for, I think, one alley-oop dunk. So I look at this and say, look, he's getting the ball on a cut, he's taking a step, and he's going up and he's dunking it. That's new for him, and I see it as a step forward. I asked Brad Stevens about it, and he just flat out said, nope. Not at all.
Said, is this dunk a sign of progress moving forward? No.
No, not. It's not.
And it lingered there for a minute, and then Brad Stevens, because he's a nice man, just gave his generic answer about what Gordon Hayward did today, just because he didn't want to let it linger. He's not mean.
He could have said no. And
Belichick would have said no.
And right, and just let me linger, like you said, and just twist in the wind and be like, okay. But I will say, his elaboration on, I've seen him do this in practice, I am going to say that sort of kind of proves a little bit of what I've been saying. Look at the facts of this. We haven't seen him cut to the basket, get a pass, and go up and dunk. That is a first for this season, I believe. I can't remember one off the top of my head. Can you?
No.
Okay. Brad Stevens says afterwards, I see him do this in practice all the time, so I don't think this is anything special. Okay, fine.
We have to see it in a game.
Right. So my point that I've been making this whole time is that he has this thing. Like, practice is one thing. Doing it in a game is another. And I'm going to take the dunking on me by Brad Stevens to say that Brad said that because he sees it all the time. We don't see it all the time. Now, if we start to see this a little bit more, then the old G that shows up in practice every once in a while when there's no pressure, where there's no real fear because he's playing amongst his teammates and they're not going to try to hurt him, I feel like doing that in the game is indeed a step forward. And Brad may not want to paint it as such, because he wants Gordon Hayward to just go out there and just keep doing what he's doing in practice. Just keep doing it. I've seen him do it. I think this is great. Yeah, that's fine. That was nice. But, you know, it's just Gordon. Just Gordon's doing Gordon. So that's my take on the whole thing.
I'm going to give you a big round of... Nice recovery. Nice recovery from getting dunked on.
You.
Justified your point. I think an interesting thing about what Brad said is, like, we need to do a better job of getting him open in space.
Yes.
And I think a lot of that is on Gordon Hayward. It felt like he made a concerted effort every single time he got the ball tonight to try and get into the paint. Or he even had some post-ups, which I don't think we've really seen him do a lot. But he was looking for his own shot and was very aggressive and, like, cutting, like, part of the reason we haven't seen it is because, like, how often have we seen, like, Gordon Hayward really cutting into the paint? And it's just not something he was, like, clearly there was, they told him to do something more or be more aggressive, or the scouting report said catch and go. But every single time he caught the ball tonight, he was trying to get into the paint. Still had some of the looking to pass once he got there, but
yep.
That's part of basketball, is like collapsing the defense in and passing it out. Him getting into the paint, doing more playmaking, I thought was just a lot better tonight. And so, maybe that's just him being more active. Maybe it's the ankle feeling better. But I just, like, loved his aggression. I want the most aggressive Gordon Hayward as possible. He can take as many mid-range shots as he wants. He didn't really do that tonight. He knocked down a couple long ones, but he didn't really take bad mid-ranges. But I'm, like, fine with that. He needs to be more aggressive and try to, like, get himself to be more a part of the second unit. And so I thought it was a good sign. If it wasn't the best dunk of his year, I thought it was just, in terms of aggression, it was a good step forward for him.
I agree. And I stand by it. I stand by all of the things that I've said that I've gotten dunked on all week. Start with Kyrie saying this wasn't a playoff atmosphere. It went to Jaylen Brown, who said he's not finishing any differently, and then tonight. But I stand by all my points.
It was a regular dunk. Find a new slant.
But I agree on the finding him as a cutter. I think the Celtics in general need to cut more. Like, get Gordon Hayward out there on the floor with Al Horford. Get Al Horford the ball in the post, low post, high post, doesn't matter. Cut behind him and let Al Horford flex his passing. Now, Al only played 24 minutes tonight, which was great.
I was about to bring up Al. Al was amazing tonight. It was the most, like, calm 14, 7-5, but he was just another two blocks,
two steals. I mean, yeah.
Just basically dictated the entire game. It's like, oh, Marvin Williams is in the game. We'll just do an Al Horford post-up. He's passing the ball left and right. He's just been he's been such a better defender, I think, one since Baines has been back. But it just seems like he's a lot healthier out there. He was just, like, quietly dominant and didn't really have to play at all in the fourth quarter. I thought he was quite good, but he's like he said, point guard Al, he's such a good passer that the Celtics, I think, do need to do a better job cutting. I think that's where Hayward comes in, because Hayward is such a good playmaker that if you give him the ball, like, on the catch while he's moving, he had a really good assist to Jaylen Brown today where he basically caught in the paint and immediately whipped it to the other side.
Exactly.
He's such a good facilitator, and he's one of those guys who can throw that, like, perfect pass to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Get him moving in traffic where he can either go up or can look to pass. But I just think the Celtics have so much talent and so much playmaking that I think they need to do a better job of playing with some pace and getting guys move, like, getting the ball on the catch so they can make those plays. And I think Hayward's kind of the best example of that.
Yeah, it just makes you think that, and I don't want to overreact, but this is, I think, an obvious step forward. Big step, small step, however you want to classify it. Having moments like this is a step forward, and we're, what, 50, how many games into the season? I forget what game
51.
This is. 51. Sometimes it takes a long time for the chemistry to happen, and part of it is because Gordon is recovering from that injury. So as he continues his physical and mental recovery, he's going to do a little bit more. Part of it is guys getting into these roles. Like Jaylen Brown playing great right now. He is on a great stretch. And some people are saying maybe you move him into the starting lineup. And I wonder...
He's embraced his bench role, and he's talking about how he, like, from the bench, he's able to do more and, like, able to be more aggressive.
That was my point, that he, in that role, is flourishing. And it's not to say that he's not a starter-quality guy. It's that with this team, with these guys, that you know, with those starters, having a guy like Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward coming off the bench now, embracing those roles and playing those roles very well, that changes the dynamic. And it takes this long for everybody to be like, okay, I get it. I'm going to go full on. I'm embracing this. Jalen's embraced it. He's had a great 2 months now. Gordon Hayward's getting better. He's starting to embrace it. He's had a bad stretch the past few games, but he, you know, there are signs of progress. Once we get to this point where everybody's starting to accept things, then you can start moving forward with which lineups, which combinations work best at different parts of the game. How do you fix the third quarter? Do you move different guys in and out? And then now you start to get a sense of, well, if we get into the playoffs and there are matchup issues, then we could do this, then we could do that. And so it's not fully fixed, and I'm not going to overreact to beating the Hornets, who are hanging on to an eighth seed at this point. They still do have to take it on the road. They've won 10 of 11 home games this month. They've been bad on the road. They still have to go on the road. So now going to face the Knicks, who have been bad. If they go out to New York on Friday and suck, then that brings up an entirely different question that the Celtics are going to have to answer. Why do you suck on the road? And that's the next challenge for them, because they're going to have a ton of road games coming up. They still got a West Coast swing. They still got games in Philly, in Toronto. They've got a lot of tough road games coming up. So that's their next stretch, and that's their biggest challenge moving forward.
You do have to give them some credit for taking care of business at home. The only home game Absolutely. They lost in January was against the Warriors, I think 10 of 11. That's exactly what you needed them to do. They're only a game back of the 4 seed. Like they did, they held court. Basically, it just so happened that the 4 other teams in the East kept on winning, probably because they got to play a lot of teams in the East. But you expect Indiana to kind of fall off with Oladipo. The 76ers have a tough schedule coming up. So, yeah, this will be the true test. But hopefully, the Knicks on Friday night is not a true test. Basically, they had Enes Kanter play tonight after 4 DMPs, and there was a "We want Enes Kanter" chant. Is this sad state of affairs in New York?
I saw the clip of Enes Kanter coming in, kissing the floor, and then firing an air ball.
And immediately airballing it. The New York Knicks, 2018-2019.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back. Tweets, junk drawer, and we out. Stick around here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Every game we ask you to send us your tweets. Tag them with the hashtag RainandJays or RainandJunk. RainandJays are your basketball comments. RainandJunk is your junk. So let's start with the RainandJays. And @TravLewis said, is it quiet at the game? I can hear every call the coaches are making on the bench and the players yelling it. And one on literally every possession.
No energy tonight. The crowd was lacking. It was kind of empty when I got here. No one really here. I got to sit downstairs. It was kind of empty night. People were probably maybe scared of the snow. I don't know.
I agree. This night it was all about everybody just wanting to get in and get out. There wasn't a ton of energy in the building. The referees didn't want. They just let them play. The post-game interviews were like 2 minutes, like, okay, blah, blah, blah. One sentence, okay, we're out. No reporters, like, just none. Let's everybody get out of here. So that was the night, and that's kind of the theme of the night. Let's see. At Celtics Mike, I'm just going to say the I am so smart, SMRF, is a great Homer Simpson reference. We didn't talk about Marcus Smart. He didn't do much offensively. He had a couple of crazy defensive plays, which completely didn't register, didn't make everybody go crazy, and that's just where we are with Marcus Smart. He's a maniac on the floor. He makes maniacal plays, and people are like, oh, yeah, that's just Smart.
Yeah, he also had 7 assists tonight, 1 of 4 from deep, just continues with the shooting confidence, but this time it didn't work. But, yeah, no, he just continues to be all up in everyone's shit, like at all times. At one point, he got absolutely laid out by Bismack Biyombo.
Yes, he did.
And then, it, like, the next 3 plays, it was just, like, all Marcus Smart. It's like him getting knocked down fuels his insanity rage, and it's like, he's just, like... you're not going to get this reference because you didn't play Pokemon, but there's you used to battle Pokemons, and there was a move called Rage, and the Pokemon would just rage in place, and you couldn't do anything, and it would just destroy your own Pokemon. Marcus Smart, when he gets hit, is a raging Pokemon where he just destroys everything in his path, and there's nothing you can do about it. He immediately came in after getting smacked by Biyombo, came flying in for a tip-in dunk attempt that was an offensive foul on Smart, and then... But then he immediately, the next play is when he drew a charge on Biyombo. Like, if he gets knocked in the face at all, his, like, intensity goes up, and it's, like, the best of Marcus.
There, so my old man reference that you won't get is there was, I forget which member of the Little Rascals would get mad when you messed up his hair. Like, I think if you...
Alfalfa?
No.
Or is it
no,
Spanky?
There was, I believe... a little rascal that if he messed up his hair, he got super, super mad and he would just kick the crap out of somebody. That was the kind of thing. Aren't you one of the little rascals?
The only thing I can think about is the Simpsons flashback when Mo was originally on the Little Rascals and then Alfalfa steals his bit and he beats him up.
He beats him to death.
His bit was putting his eye behind a car that would start and having the smoke blow out.
Right, right. Oh, God. Okay. At Jovian Shadow, when I get home, I'm just going to watch the Celtics third quarter. Good choice. That's a great quarter to watch. Whoops. I just completely lost all of my tweets because I'm an idiot. At Robert Denton, who sent us a GIF of the Jason Tatum alley-oop saying, why in the hell would we want to trade Tatum? Don't want to. You
got
would kind of have to if you want to get Anthony Davis, and I would love to keep Jason Tatum and get Anthony Davis. That'd be fantastic, but that may not be possible. I do not want to trade Jason Tatum, but it might be that how it goes. At Beer Jam, games like this, it's like maybe we should trade Kyrie for AD, but it never sounds good.
I'm
going to
admit, I had that thought tonight.
Did you?
I was like, oh, Anthony Davis with all these guys who are playing real well? Would be pretty good. You know, be better. Kyrie and Anthony Davis.
That would be better.
Yeah, it would be better. People forget that Kyrie Irving's amazing. I have a theory that Kyrie Irving shouldn't play against any non-playoff teams for the rest of the season.
I'm down.
Seems like the chemistry is going well. People are very happy in the locker room. But they clearly need him against the teams with like somewhat of a good defense. But against bad teams, let the other guys cook. Kyrie doesn't need to be there.
No.
He's not. I bet he doesn't play against the Knicks. No, he'll play against the Knicks because it's MSG and that's where he's from, and he wants to play.
Yeah,
everyone wants to play in MSG. He'll play against the Thunder, and then I think they have another game before taking on the. And you know he's going to play against the Lakers. His apparently his new free agent destination.
at John T4573, Jaylen Brown is the most joyless basketball player I've ever seen. Dude, try to enjoy the good shooting nights. Oh, and also. Bad look getting pissed when Tice got free throws on the fourth quarter rebound. Everyone else was laughing. Also, mix in a pass to Hayward every now and then. I didn't notice the pissed off over Tice. I will say that, well, Jaylen Brown said twice after the game, I'm just having fun out there. But it was a very, he just gives monotonous post game. He's not going to give you anything to talk about in his post-game comments. He's just going to go straight down, give you all the cliches. He's going to do it very monotone. He's not going to – that's it's very Belichickian. Like him, Tatum, those guys. Most of these guys are not the Evan Turner type soundbite. They're just very by the book, read off the cliches. The media training in full effect.
It's
I don't blame him.
You go into the locker room after the game. Tonight was especially like loud locker room. People are joking around, and then it's like they do a slow walk over to the media scrum, and it's like, play good out there tonight.
Yeah. I don't blame him because, you know, like we all want the juicy quotes, but as soon as a juicy quote comes out,
it goes on Twitter
like
and it
crazy.
Loses all context.
There's no context because it's a fun tweet. And people were like, "Whoa, wait a minute! That sounds like kind of douchey. Like it's not." And then you have to explain, and just, people won't watch the video when you say, "Oh, here's the video." They just don't care. So I don't blame them for not saying things because that very easy for that to spread and not be taken seriously. That's it for the Rain and Jays hashtag.
You know what happens in a 35-point blowout? You get a bunch of junk chores. So
lots of junk
from Touche Bagouche and Skrotberg Sr. Terry Rozier just said Marcus Smart had a shiesty mustache.
That was awesome.
Give this man a taco, raining junk.
Absolutely.
Terry Rozier is probably the best. He's the most dynamic person on Jumbotron events and entertainment, but him and Kid Picasso, or just when he's guessing things that he has no idea, but he was also described Jaylen Brown drawing earlier in the year as like fat neck.
Yeah,
there's a great tweet. Is this Terry Rozier on art, and it's fat neck and shiesty mustache.
That's great. It's great. He really is great. His like naming sitcoms and naming like all of that stuff. Like he has no clue what some of those things are, and he just throws out random words. It's fantastic.
This is from Nicholas Deezing. I just yelled out loud at 3 a.m., parentheses, Germany, for that one-handed dunk, or Tatum dunk. My neighbors are going to hate me.
Yeah.
Shouts to our fan in Germany.
Love it.
I think that was our first known German fan. A.B. Green, Kemba Walker leads the league in looking really cool while yelling in muted slow motion. He was a little bit frustrated tonight. It looked like he may have been able to pick up a tech, but that's all I noticed.
Yeah.
The other, my former neighbor and fellow Greek Teddy Kokoris tweeted at me another old school reference. He said Kemba is like Blanka from Street Fighter because he's not championship level, but sometimes he can be unstoppable, especially if he goes on an electric run. And that's a good Street Fighter reference.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, it was fantastic stuff. Tony Fox, Tice with the block, outlet to Hayward, Hayward to Semi, Semi with the scoop layup, mildly arousing village, question mark?
I would say that's beyond mildly arousing.
No, that was erotic.
That
City. My first reaction was, je suis l'amour. And so if you get that reaction, if you get the full je suis l'amour, it's clearly they're doing things. This is from Tanny Levitt. Can you organize a support group for the significant others of Weird Celtics tweeters? I'm having trouble explaining Erotic City to my fiance. Well, there's an informative video pinned to the top of my Twitter where you can watch great Celtics ball movement and hear the great sounds of Prince, and you'll kind of get a sense of it, what's going on now.
It's hard to explain it. You have to experience it. Like, you can't just say,
oh. They're play tonight, though. Marcus Morris got doubled in the one corner. Ping, 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 ping. Four passes. Jason Tatum in the opposite corner. Cash three. Like, that's Erotic City. It's just ball movement, crisp, pace, everyone going together, feeling the flow, doing the bull dance.
I feel like when, like, we can say that play is Erotic City. Okay, that's fine. But I think the way to really get it is to experience the game with Twitter open and to understand when certain things happen. Watch the Twitter reaction and see who's reacting. Make sure you're following all the right people, obviously.
Psychedelic memes, a high volume of psychedelic memes come in.
All of that stuff. And then you'll start to kind of get it. Like, I can explain it to you, but it's a real sensory experience that you have to get vision and, like, there's sound and there's feel. And it's you gotta experience it.
All right, my own personal junk chore. Before the game, I missed this, but the talk of the media room was Brad saying the word scuttlebutt.
Yes.
And then he said that he enjoyed NBA rumors, and it's a bold-faced lie. Brad, I can't believe he pays it. Pay attention.
I put the video up on Mass Live's YouTube page. Go watch it. I asked them about the rumors and how
he says scuttlebutt, and then just sneaks this lie right past all the reporters, and they're just laughing.
Yeah, well, he.
If I was there, I would have told the truth. I would have said, "You liar." Another thing I noticed pregame, every time you walk into the Celtics locker room, there's just like a box of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yes.
And there's always one that says Jalen's name on it. Does he not eat his peanut butter and jelly sandwich before the game? Maybe he stopped eating it and that's why he's been playing better. I should have asked him that question.
That's a great question to ask. I guess the question is, and I haven't really paid attention, because when we go back after the game...
They're gone. Who eats all those sandwiches? Who would eat 35 box lunches?
I gotta tell you, man, I see that peanut butter and jelly over there.
I want to grab it so many times.
I
want to
grab one so bad. There's just a pile. There's like dozens of them in there, and I'm like, they're not gonna notice one going.
Is it bad that I want to eat the Jalen one though? during the game, first quarter break, they dropped some parachutes down from the rafters.
Yeah.
It was back in my day. Oh, I have to give this complaint. They used to do T-shirts for that. Now it's just like one of those little like fake plastic basketballs. It was falling right towards me. It was like in my grasp. I swiped at it and just completely missed and knocked it over the railing so no one could get it. Cedric Maxwell had to get up, walk over, bend over the railing and pick it up. It was not a good look for me whatsoever. John Duke, who's apparently at the game, one of the gods of podcasting. He apparently saw me do it. He tweeted at me immediately. It was like, nice catch on that parachute. It was just like, there's no, just really felt like an idiot. Just people all around me screaming like, oh, no, no.
Shout out to John Duke. I got to talk to him a little bit before the game. Cool, bringing the kids down, bringing the basketball team down. Shouts to the Podfather.
Before that sweet Tatum dunk, we got more Tice tips. Tice is not a guy who likes to grab the rebound, yep. Loves tipping it out. Here's probably the biggest story that I think should come out of this game. And remember, the Celtics went on this big run at the 6:47 mark, the 20-3 run. What happened during that pause and play? They showed everyone going in the crowd, everyone. They put Deuce on the Jumbotron. No one cheered.
I didn't notice.
It was very upsetting. Not one person in the crowd noticed it was Deuce, gave him an extra. There was like no ovation. And
what?
I think that pissed
they
the Celtics off.
Tam was like, screw this. He went off. I'm usually taking those breaks to write, so I didn't see. I don't.
What do you think I was doing? I was taking them to write the junk drawer.
That's your lane, man. That's it.
The most reaction I got tonight was when I tweeted that out and said shame on the Celtics. And the people of Celtics Twitter were upset. But I want to give a special shout out to Mike Benetti, who was at the game, and he said, "I was trying to tell my section." So I just like the idea of him up in like 304.
That's
somewhere.
Deuce. It's Deuce.
That's Deuce.
Cheer, you idiots! Cheer!
Cheer! Damn it! So that was an upsetting moment, and hopefully the fans will correct that soon. But maybe there's a crowd. I don't want to say it was a bad crowd tonight, but it was a low energy night.
It was a low energy night. I have this vision of Jason Tatum walking by here, hearing us yelling out, that's Deuce, and poking his head in. That would have been fantastic.
That would have been good stuff. Two things left. No surprise, the JetBlue flight crew was not there tonight.
I mean, just off their game, man.
They were off the past two games. They decided, you know what, tonight's not the night for the flight crew. They need to get together, work on them stuff.
I got to shout out Jan Packard here for blowing the lid off the JetBlue flight crew story.
Yeah, why do you think they're not out there tonight? Because they don't want to embarrass themselves again listening on the Raining Jays.
Two straight call-outs on the Locked On Celtics podcast. They're probably shook.
Jam gets results.
That's it. That's it, man. No JetBlue flight crew until Lucky's back anchoring that team. They just can't. They don't have that depth to answer.
I'm not only here fighting for justice in terms of mid game entertainment, but I'm also want to point out a market inefficiency. You're recently new on the beat, correct?
I am.
Stern from MassLive.com. You've joined Team Transcribe.
I have.
So after the game, all the beat reporters, they kind of split up all the recordings and they transcribe them so they can have them in their stories and notes later. So I sat back there today during transcribe time. And noticed all the beat reporters splitting up the Team Transcribe. And then I looked to my right, and there was three Celtics employees transcribing the exact same information. It didn't make any sense to me. They should pay you guys double.
I agree.
Hear, hear.
I agree. Double
and
my
that's
salary.
Why you should vote for Jam Packard.
I'm in. I'm all about, yes, Jam 2020. Well, see, now they. What we don't do is we don't transcribe Brad Stevens because we know that the Celtics people are going to do that.
Oh.
So they do transcribe Brad.
So I was speaking from a place of ignorance.
A little bit, but I'm just filling you in. But they also transcribe, like, we'll get, like, Marcus Smart or whomever's back there, and sometimes they'll hand us a sheet with some of those same quotes, and we're like, already gotcha.
See, that's the inefficiency that I'm talking about.
Yeah, they do have to, like, they do have to... But
I'm just in it for the people. I want everyone to be maximizing productivity.
Which we do try to do.
That's it from me. I've got no more junk.
I felt like I had a junk drawer edition, but I can't remember it now. So I think we're just going to wrap up the show.
Oh, I got one last thing.
Oh.
Dale Demps, general manager of the Pelicans, is reportedly not picking up his phone to answer any trade calls, which is laugh out loud funny. Rich Paul made his move, and now they took out the Anthony Davis in the intro video in New Orleans.
Yes.
They might not play him for the rest of the season.
They
like,
shouldn't.
What if they just called his bluff? It was like, all right, you're going to sit out the rest of the year then.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Sure, why not?
Just tell him, stay home. Stay home.
It's going to be awkward if he's selected to the All-Star game and then has to represent... Although I guess they don't wear the team jerseys anymore. They should go back to that, by the way. I liked it when each player wore the, instead of the new like all-star specific uniforms, they should just wear like the road uniform and the home uniform of their specific team.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. I mean, everybody's got a black jersey now. Like they could just put everybody in their black jerseys and then everyone else
versus like their city edition, or like you could choose your jersey.
Yeah. I'm down with that. I always liked the wearing your own jersey, but of course then you can't sell all-star jerseys, which, you know.
There's a guy speaking of mid-game entertainment wearing a Jason Tatum Chaminade jersey tonight.
Yeah.
I thought it's always cool. I like the high school jersey.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And he was shooting, he was
very
doing the
casually.
Shooting thing. Yes. I thought he had a nice little form. He was snapping that wrist, but he couldn't hit the three to win it.
My God. Thank God I reminded myself. The first guy was shooting free throws.
Yes.
He missed short 15 times in a row. One guy, adjust a little bit.
Like, yeah, right.
He just did 10 shots where he was short. Shoot it a little harder. And then he made one, and he got a chance for, like, he got moved on to a new game, and he ended up winning $10,000 earrings.
Yeah.
It's like, this should be a meritocracy here. He should, like, there's, the first game did not connect to the second game whatsoever.
I don't know what happened there.
It's like,
I thought you shot for the amount of chances to pick. Like, if you hit all of your shots, then you get, like, three guesses, or you...
Yeah, but there's only three things to
guess. You get to pick. Well, I guess if you hit all your shots, you win all the prizes.
The man had to hit three shots, and he attempted 15.
Yeah.
It's like in The Price is Right, you have to win the first guessing game to get on stage, and then you have to win the showcase showdown, like the spinning wheel to get to the showcase showdown. Reward, success, and then that's how you make a good game show. Here's what I'm campaigning on. I think I should be the house DJ. I think I should be the PA announcer.
Now, if you were the PA announcer, if you took Eddie Palladino's job, would you use the beginning of the show jam for anytime somebody dunked?
That would be pretty obnoxious, but so
Jaylen
yes.
Brown with the jam.
My biggest thing is downtown Jaylen Brown, or Jaylen Brown from downtown is much better than JB for three. But I know, who knows what I'll come up with. They probably don't want someone just messing around on the PA.
Riffing.
During the, yeah.
Yeah, they probably want somebody who's going to deliver.
Celtics are such a traditional organization. Doesn't have family values. Want someone who showers regularly. Doesn't have dandruff. Shout out to Chris Farley.
Okay. All right. That's a good place to end the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening, especially all of you new listeners.
Who doesn't stare at Al Horford in the locker room.
Who isn't gazing into his eyes uncomfortably. Thanks for listening. Hope you are subscribing. If you're a subscriber, give us that 5-star rating. Give us a good written review, please. And share the podcast. Tell everybody. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell random people on the street to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.